your mind when you hear the word fasting? Food? Have to deny myself? What's fasting? Why am I fasting? Everybody has a different response when you talk about fasting. Fasting is really a time set apart to wait on God. And many times our whole focus is on not eating, but really that's not the whole principle of fasting. Fasting is, first of all, a spiritual discipline that we're going to wait on God. And that's what we're going to do in the month of January. Wait on God. Some people can't fast a lot of food because of health reasons. But fasting isn't just about food. There's other things that you can fast. But the whole primary foundation of fasting is to wait on God in a supernatural way that will bring supernatural results. Fasting doesn't change God. It changes us. Prayer and fasting release needed spiritual energy for this hour. We need more understanding about it. And, you know, a church that prays and fasts together, nothing can stop them. And I have two things I'd like to say. Number one, I would like Friday nights, the worship team to come out and open up prayer and fasting with a few worship songs, a praise songs. If you're part of this church in any ministry, you need to make these prayer meetings, I understand, about schedules. But, you know, this is what I want to drop in your heart. Sunday morning service is not more important than the prayer meetings. I'm going to say it again. Sunday morning service is not more important. And I think if we look at the condition of the body of Christ, is that we forgot that the early church was birthed in prayer. So, we're going to start off this month on Friday nights, and we're going to come and praise the Lord together, and then we're going to pray, and I believe that God will hearken unto us. Amen. Why is fasting so important? Well, Jesus started his ministry after he fasted. Some kinds of devils don't go out without fasting and prayer. There are demons that have attacked our children, our relatives. There are demons of darkness and suicide on people today, and they're not going to go by just getting counseling. The demonic forces are having a heyday with the younger generation. You and I, in prayer and fasting, can have that authority, and even though they live across the world, we can speak in this dimension, it goes into another dimension, and it calls the powers of hell to loosen that person. Amen. That's what Isaiah 58 is all about. He said, this is the fast I've chosen, not for you to walk around looking like you're hungry. I want some things loose. I want some yokes broken. So that when you speak something over someone who's bound by a devil, that devil, even though he's out in Kansas City, will hear your words through the supernatural telephone communication of heaven. Joel told us, turn to God with all your hearts and with fasting. Fasting, first of all, is about waiting on God. How many believe in this hour we need God?
Amen.
God doesn't need me. I need God. How many believe the church needs God? How many believe that your life can make a difference as you come to prayer and you fasted and you're seeking after God? How many believe when we all come together, going to change the atmosphere, as Pastor Deb was talking about our region.
Amen.
Principalities have to be pulled down. Daniel 6:18, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting. We're going to take these Sundays talking about prayer, talking about fasting, waiting on God. The real purpose of fasting and prayer is to wait on God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. Three questions, he says. There's no searching of his understanding. In other words, don't you know God's got it all? Don't you know that without God we're nothing? Don't you know that God can change anything? Don't you know that God defeated the devil at Calvary? Don't you know there's no demon that can stand in his presence? Don't you know that? I say, as you know it, but you don't know it. You know it here, but you don't know the reality of the experiential power that comes with waiting on God. You see, coming to a church service, we're not really waiting on God. We're praising God and thank God for the praises of God in his presence. But there's another dimension of my spiritual life. You see, praise produces God's presence. Prayer produces God's power. And see, sometimes we're content just with the presence of God, but we don't have the power of God. There are two wings on a plane. You see, we need both. So, he gives power to the faint. How many felt like the last year you might have fainted a few times? I don't know. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. What is that? You know what that kind of means? Those that have run out of gas. How many have ever run out of gas? Aren't you embarrassed? Like, duh, I should have stopped at that gas station. We all run out of gas. But God, he increases. He brings the word, the anointing, with a fresh can of his power. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Oh, there's a lot of youth that don't want to live anymore. They want to take their life. They have no purpose. The young men shall utterly fall. Who's concerned about the young men and women? Here's the key, church. But they that wait upon the Lord, wait in expectation. Wait in claiming the promises. Wait in humility. Wait in the dependency upon God. Wait in God with not coming and giving our bucket list to Him. Waiting on Him to say, Lord, here I am. I'm waiting on you. I'm not going to presume I know it all. I'm not going to presume what you're going to do this year. I'm not going to presume what you're going to do in my life. I'm just waiting on you to do what you want to. And when you fast and pray, we begin to realize there's a whole lot of us left. There's a whole lot of our will. There's a whole lot of our stubbornness. There's a whole lot of carnality. There's a whole lot of flesh. There's a whole lot of pride and arrogancy. And as we humble ourselves, our soul with fasting, the Holy Spirit begins to remove those things. And we come into a relationship with God, that God can favor us. God can give us promotion. And God can use us mightily. I never knew how proud I was till I started fasting. I never knew how much carnality I had till I had to skip a few meals. I never knew how my thoughts were carnal till I quit watching so much television. When you wait on the Lord, He renews us. That's what we're going to do. We have no other answer. Wonderful buildings, parking lots, wonderful outreaches, all in His place. But we need to wait on God. The reason revival stops and tears, I love those songs about fire revival. You know why they stop? It's not because it's God's will that they stop. The people become familiar and they quit waiting on God. They switch from prayer and fasting just to church service. But guess what? They need more power. Stop the church services. Get back in prayer and fasting again to keep the engine moving. You see, we're going to talk about it this month. Power to the faint increases strength. I love this. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. We What's that movie? What's that animated? Is it Chicken Little? Chicken Coop? Remember about the chickens in the coop and that one bird comes flying in? What is it? Chicken something. Y'all watch that? Okay. But anyway, what happens is these chickens, they're trying to get out of this coop. And how can we do it? And this chicken on a circus was thrown out, shot out of a cannon maybe a half mile away. And they shot him too hard. And they're saying, well, maybe somebody will come and this chicken is thrown into the coop. And they're like, he's going to help us. He's going to help us fly. So he says, yes, I can fly. And they're all excited. So he starts training them to fly and everything. And finally they realize he can't fly. Because he's a chicken. And chickens look down and all they do is peck, peck, peck. And guess what? You can be a believer and all you do is peck, peck, peck. Some of those things might be correct. But you're not called to be a chicken. You're called to be an eagle. I said you're called to be an eagle. And the eagle builds its nest high in the rocks. He thinks differently than the chicken. The chicken's just trying to eat, survive, and get through life, a hard life, a hard job. He's thinking that way. But the eagle goes, yeah, it's hard, but I'm sorry. I'm going up where I belong. I don't belong cooped up around people and just pecking all day, saying how bad they've got it. Listen, every generation has gone through hardship. Every generation in the time of Adam has gone. But you know what? There are people that are tired of being tired, and they're going to man up the wings as the eagles get by the wings. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk, not faint. This is from waiting on God. I said this is from waiting on the Lord. How does it happen? That's God's business. He never called me to figure out how he does everything. There are some things you and I will never know until we get to eternity. Well, one of the reasons is because we're not God. God knows he's God. He thinks he's God. He is God. We aren't.
That's right.
So there comes a place in our life we got to stop trying to figure everything out. Just wait on it. Just wait on it. How do we fast and wait on God? Number one, we do it with urgency. Everybody say urgency.
Urgency.
Don't you think we're in a time we need God quickly? Yeah. I go by the ER room. They go by a patient first load. They're filled up with people. They're running. They're urgent. And I understand health things, but how about spiritual things? And we see the spiritual climate of our nation. And we see the spiritual climate of our colleges. How agnostic atheist professors teaching our young people, and they grab ideologies, and they grab things, and they grab science, and they exalt science above God. They exalt culture above God. They exalt politics above God. But God is a jealous God, and he won't allow anything to be worshipped more than him. There needs to be an urgency in our step. That the times are drawing nigh. He's coming soon, let's see from the book of Jude. There's many believers, they've lost their urgency. They've flown in, flowed out. Listen, you need your urgency back, and so do I in 2022.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. We wait on God to give us our urgency back. When you go to many of these ER things, you wait an hour, 5 hours. Because you're urgent. We could certainly come out on Friday night and give God an hour.
Amen.
If we have urgency. Second thing, we fast and wait on God with energy. We get ourselves up. Turn on the car. Put our praise tape on. Go buy DVD, Dunkin' Donuts. The iced coffee, 3 shots, less ice. And we head our way here. Energy. Third thing, we fast and wait on God with eternity in mind. Not only ours, but our family. Our children. Our neighbors. Our community. All of a sudden we realize, oh my God, I've been in a spot. There's so many lost. So many backs. Oh God, can you do something waiting on you? We want to lose our intensity and our passion for God. Jesus went to the cross, was called his passion. We got to get our passion back. God never called us to be click, pluck, pluck, pluck. I'm suspicious of this person, this and that, and that and that, and critical. You're a chicken, but you're really an eagle. How do I get it back? I wait on God. And I wait for that gentle voice of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to take this out of you. I'm going to change this. I'm going to anoint you with fresh oil. You'll be my mouthpiece. You'll be my spokesman. You'll see people healed now when you lay hands on them. Yeah. When you speak to people that are in bondage, you'll see yokes fall. Isn't that our job? Yeah. Now, how do we get this urgency? I want to talk about urgency this morning. The book of Jude. The book of Jude is an amazing book. The book of Jude was written to warn the church about false teachers and apostasy before the return of Christ. It's interesting. This book is right before the book of Revelation. It's right before the revelation of Christ and his coming. And Jude, hallelujah, he puts an urgency in here for the church. It was so urgent that Jude started, he said, I want to talk to you about this, the common salvation, but the Holy Spirit interrupted me. Aren't you glad when the Holy Spirit interrupts us? Let's start verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, oh, I love that word. When I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Why would you have to earnestly contend for the faith? Because it's in jeopardy today. I said it's in jeopardy today. There are churches that have combined all the religions together, and we're just nice people, and we save the whale, and we pray for the climate and all that. Nothing about Jesus. And it has creeped into our younger generation, folks. For there are certain men crept in unawares. I would call them creeps. But anyway, there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained of this judgment, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God and lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he lays the gloominess that's happening in order to establish an understanding of judgment that is coming. This must be an understanding of a mature believer's life. Not as a negative part of Scripture, but one that causes us to be urgent. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them which believed not. Now, why is he saying this to him? Why is he writing this? He's not writing that to condemn us or to say that we don't remember. He's saying this. I want you to remember something. There's a whole lot of unbelievers out there.
Yes, it is.
And how they might be nice people. They give to the Boy Scouts. They go Rotary Club. They do all nice, good things. Yet they don't have faith. And they got destroyed. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, But left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of that great day. What is he trying to do? He's trying to build this reality. It's wonderful here, wonderful Christmas, go travel, everything's fine. But he's saying, don't go to sleep. That judgment on a scale we've never seen is coming to those that don't know Christ. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, he names two cities. The cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. I go to stores, I see half the people I see that have little kids aren't even married. Because we don't preach it in the church. We don't preach it as a sin. We think it's all right, I put the baby out, it doesn't matter if I'm in sin or not. Yes, it does matter to God. God ordained this thing. Go get married. Yeah. It's better married than to burn. It's better to marry than commit fornication. We'll stand in judgment on that thing. But who's saying that? Jude is saying this because it's right before the revelation of Christ. And God loves all those people that sin. And there needs to be a place they can come and have such a presence of God, such conviction, they run to the altar and say, oh God, save me from this filth. That's why we're waiting on God. That's why we're going to do these prayer meetings. We'll start off with praise. That's why everyone that's part of the ministry in this church needs to be in those prayer meetings. Because it's not less important than Sunday morning. And going after strange flesh. Well, we don't need any interpretation of that. The acceptance of the homosexual lesbian way today. God loves them. God wants to save them. This is so accepted. Are set forth as a what? Example. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You don't hear Jude preach much. I think I've only heard it preached twice in the last 10 years. They stay away from that. And I understand we got into faith message, prosperity, blessed, you're great. And I understand the identity God was trying to put in us and who we are. But now for a mature believer, we understand here that this world is going to be judged. Right. Period. Likewise, these filthy dreamers, you know what pornography is? It's filthy dreamers. It makes men and women have filthy dreams about having sex with someone they don't know. Filthy dreamers. $9 billion industry has destroyed marriages, has destroyed churches, pastors, deacons, elders. Filthy. Defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. That's why it doesn't matter who you vote for, who God elected, we are to pray for that person. Or you'll end up speaking evil of them. God said, well, whether you agree or not, you're not called to speak evil. I'll let that one go. Yet Michael the archangel. Now this is, you know what I like best about Jude? He had revelation that no one else in the Bible had. I believe God put that in there. No one else had this revelation, this prophetic insight, but Jude. He put it in there in order to give this book a stamp on, listen man, just like that happened back then and no one was aware of it. This judgment's coming. So God gave Jude this little stake here to give us. He said this, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, did not bring an accusation against him, railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. God showed him that the devil wanted the body of Moses. No one else knew that. How many of you know there's a lot of people, they don't know about this, they don't know about this coming either. But these speak evil, excuse me, he says the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. Interesting. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them. They've gone in the way of pain. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Interesting, Korah and Balaam were both Israelites. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. How many have ever had a spot on your clothes or anything? Over. How many got a few during the Christmas holidays? Sit there with your piece of cake, spaghetti, it falls on you. You know, before we come out here, when I'm preaching, pastors always look, you got a spot over here, you got a spot over there. See, spots draw attention to you. He said there are people that are fellowshipping with you, but everything's about them. Everything's about them. They're not for the church, they're not for the kingdom, they're not for fellowship. They'll just start talking about them and how great they are and their accomplishments. See, those are spots. He said, that's not what fellowship is for. Feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water. Carried about the winds. See, the boast of a false gift is like clouds and winds without rain. I don't want clouds and wind without rain. You and I need God. Personally, in this congregation, we need rain. We need rain. The 50s, they called it the latter rain movement. That's what we need. That's what we're going to wait on. Give us rain. Carried about trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Why is it twice dead? Number one, there's no fruit. Number two, there's no life in the root. It's dead twice. Plucked up. Raging waves of the sea forming out their own shame. Wandering stars. Stars aren't supposed to wander. Many people charted their boats in the ocean decades ago by the stars. You wait on God. God shows us our wandering, independent spirit. You're today, gone tomorrow. No commitment. No responsibility, no accountability. See the wandering stars. Well, wait on God. He kind of just whispers, you know what? I want to get rid of that because I can't give you something else. So that's gone because you'll mislead me.
That's right.
Raging waves of the sea. You know, there are storm waves and there are firm waves. And they tell you, don't go in the water during the storm or right after because you'll be pulled out. But there's nothing more beautiful than sitting on the beach. The sun is out. A gentle roll. He says there are folks that all they do is bring waves of storminess, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness forever. Now God gives Enoch another revelation that no one else had. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Did you know that Enoch prophesied? See, God shows you things that you didn't see when you wait on Him. God shows you things that you need in your life, and I need, because we all have questions about things. God says, just simply wait on Him. I'm going to show you something you don't know. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they ungodly committed, and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. Memphis. I love how he closes. But beloved, he goes back to beloved. Remember in the first part, he said, I want you to remember how God judged. But now I want you to remember the other side of that, because see, He wasn't talking about his people going to be judged. He's talking about unbelievers. He says, listen, remember the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. You know why sinners act like sinners? They don't have the Spirit. They can't get it unless they're in salvation. But beloved, oh, I love that third time. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying. Everybody say praying.
Pray.
Waiting on God and the Holy Ghost. And then he says this. Keep yourself in the love of God. You're not responsible if someone mistreats you. He says you keep yourself in the love of God. Looking, everybody say looking. When you and I wait on God, he reveals his love in a greater capacity, enlarges our heart for more of his love, because God looks for people who want to increase their capacity. The person next to you does not have the same capacity for God as you because they've not developed it. Through prayer, fasting, repentance, you develop a greater capacity for God. And the more capacity you have for God, the greater you can show the love of God. And when we wait on God, he shows us how small our capacity really is for him. And we say, oh, woe is me. And God begins to make our capacity bigger till we come to the place like Christ that we're willing to die for sins I never could. We're willing to overlook an offense. We're willing to be patient where we weren't. Why? Because we waited on God. And it's interesting how earthly things and earthly lust and earthly temptations begin to fall away when you wait on God, because God's increasing your spiritual capacity. What you used to watch on television is an abomination now. How you used to talk, you don't talk anymore. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion. You know you make a difference in compassion. Others say with fear. What does that mean? Don't put fear on them. They say, you know what? I don't believe there's a heaven or a hell. Well, the Bible says, if you don't have Christ, you might end up where you don't want to go. That's letting them know. And they might say it because of that seed. Pulling them out of the fire, hanging even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, I love this last part. Because this is my Father speaking through Enoch, not that the whole chapter was. But he makes it personal. Now unto him, Jesus, that's able to keep you. You as a person. Unto him that's able to keep you from falling. Have you ever had a time in your Christian life that you fell? I'm not talking about maybe a dog, maybe just fall. That wasn't me. I should have done that, whatever. Jude says, listen, I know I gave you some heavy stuff here. I know I've given you some meat here, but I want to close, Jude says, by giving you this understanding. That judgment is not going to affect you, even though it's around you, because I'm going to keep you from falling. To present you faultless. One of the biggest diamonds ever found, it was worth like $25 million, no faults in the diamond. Now you read that and you kind of look at your present situation. I want to be faultless. Now, how many believe we got a little ways to go before we're faultless? And as we close, Jude said, listen, I was going to write to you about baptism or whatever, but the urgency came. That there are people teaching things that Jesus never came, he already came, and it's not true. He said, don't let it happen to you. Because he's going to keep you from falling before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Someone blessed us years ago in Pittston. gave us a couple plane tickets and stuff to go to Disney World with our children. I mean, it cost us a lot. Church was small, it was barely there. But anyway, and so we went there, and we had a van that someone had in the church owned a car lot, and we gave the first payment. And he said, you know what? I'm going to bless you with it. We took it. It's a little older van, and had some little oil things that checked oil. So we flew to Philadelphia Airport, and it was about 6 degrees out that day. We get on 476 from home, and kind of like, you know, I forgot to put a quart of oil in it before we left. I said, I tell you what, honey, let's just be safe. Pull over. Don't try this at home. Pull over, and I'll put a quart of oil. Well, I'm thinking, you know, I guess I should turn the engine off. Should have never turned the engine off. Because she never came back on. The oil had gotten so low, it froze the engine. That was the other one. We just got done with Disneyland. No, I didn't blame it on the devil. I blamed it on my stupidity. But anyway, here we are, 6 degrees out, all of our young children on a turnpike. I have to walk, because they didn't have cell phones back then. I had to walk about a quarter of a mile to a phone, call the police. Of course, the car, there was no heat because the engine wasn't running. So about 15 minutes later, the police finally came. All because the oil got low. I don't know about you. I don't always walk around with the joy of the Lord. There are times things just totally drain me. There's times I'm fatigued. But waiting on God will bring a new joy and a new level. Because you don't want your engine ceasing at this part of your life. And as Christian comes and leads from the song, you don't want your engine. When you give it your whole life and you're older and you've been through hell and heaven, you don't want to come to a place, well, I just don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe in church. I don't believe in prayer. I'm going to stay. You want to die with a smile on your face. You see, Jude said to the only wise God, he's able to keep you from falling, to present us, oh, what a great Savior. How many know God's wise? How many know that we need someone's wisdom? When you wait on God, he gives you his wisdom. Daniel waited on God 21 days and God gave him wisdom. Daniel didn't know that there was a principality and powers of hell. He couldn't see it. He couldn't discern it. So he was in obedience. He waited on God. We don't know the powers of hell, hatred, racism, murder that are over our cities. We can't see them, but we obey God by waiting on it. And when we wait on him, God sends angel armies. Listen, there's a host of armies all around. Well, God, you want a congregation that realizes Sunday morning and prayer meetings are the same importance and a people hungry and thirsty. Watch out what you'll do in 2022. Come on, let's stand up. Come on, let's give God a praise. Waiting on God this month. Every believer, everyone that comes, you could make some of those prayer meetings.
You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. Come on, sing with me this morning. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry.
Shedding of blood, there is no remission. And Andre Crouch had it right. what he said about the power of the blood. The fathers of old had it right when they preached on that power. God will restore the body of Christ the revelation and understanding about the power of this blood. Because what can wash away my sins? Nothing. I can't be good enough. Nothing but God wants a people that can be an example in 2022 of those that have been washed. His power. Wonder working. Lord, we take this in remembrance of that power. May 2022 be the greatest year of our life, not because of us, but because of that blood. It's found a new place to cleanse us and renew us. And may it go out the doors into a community of those that are lost, hurting, those that are deceived, those that are bound by demons. May it go out and set many free. 2022, we ask in Jesus' name.